this is Playwright. like a phone call. Hello. You've Hello. Reached Playwright. Please leave a message for the podcast about creating and sharing new ways to play.
Wow.
My name is Ryan Heyman, the unfortunate receptionist here. You can call me H.
And I'm the Taskmaster call center manager, Ryan Quintel. You can call me Q.
So, as of the day of recording, to give people a little bit of behind the scenes, they have just revealed the new generation of Pokemon, and it's looking good. I like it.
Is that the hottest take in the world, that you like it?
Well, you know, after Let's Go, I was kind of worried that like the characters would look like phone app icons forever. And yes. I'm just really glad to see like we're back to good art design.
Yeah, I'm with you. Phone app icons is a good cutting yet on the nose way of describing that art style. It seems like Pokemon is, they're embracing some aspects of it, but this new look seems pushed even further. It seems to have clearer opinion about shade and texture and certainly color. For all that I enjoyed about the Let's Go Pikachu game, I think the world ended up feeling very, very flat. And you see in this trailer, there's really gorgeous trees happening. There, it looks like there's a lot of diversity in terms of environment. And and of course, they're finally getting to play with camera angles in a way that Pokemon games have not really traditionally get to play with before. There's even this kind of behind the shot of approaching a stadium. Or behind the back shot of the character approaching a stadium. And I'm like, whoa, okay, great. Pokemon is still really trying to do new, at least new stuff from a direction standpoint. I'll be curious to see if like this is paired with like even further complications of the series gameplay, or if they try and dial it a little bit back, because Pokemon's gotten so complicated over the years.
Yeah, and this one, of course, people seem to be speculating that this one's set in a fictionalized region that kind of represents Britain and Scotland, which is a fine choice, but really, when are we going to get the Kingdom of Bhutan that that Pokemon deserves?
I have, what is the Kingdom of Bhutan?
Well, I mean, just the country.
Oh, okay. Is that a country? This is what I get for being an ignorant American. There is this happenstance that I discussed with a friend of mine. It is the almost physical reality that something does not exist to you until you've had the thought. Like, until the electrons have connected in your brain, like, that thing doesn't actually exist to you. And now, Bhutan just went from 0 to 1 for me. So now it exists, and I can live in a world where the Kingdom of Bhutan is a real thing. Thank you.
Well, there you go. And, you know, for our listeners at home, you can't say that we never teach you anything.
No.
Bhutan exists.
Bhutan exists. And by the way,
that's your takeaway for the day.
This
is practically an NPR show at this point.
That's true. All right. We'll talk about video games, but quick side note, Bhutan has a cool flag. So go Google the Bhutan flag. It's rad as hell. It looks like a Pokemon, actually.
That's right. As the great philosophers say, Bhutan, 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 rocking everywhere.
Love it.
All right. I think it is your week to go first and bring us a brand new video game pitch. What are you going to bring us today?
Indeed it is. So I was talking with my fiance, Jessica, and she was discussing with me the idea of Lush, which is a cosmetics company for people that don't know, their bath bombs. And she showed me a little how it's made on how they make these bath bombs. Surprise, surprise, it's just a bunch of salt and baking soda with a couple of essential oils. But the process that they get to use them to stick together is also combining a little bit of like citric acid into the mix. And then they have to hand pack them into these molds and they stay for days. And it got me thinking, I love games like Factorio, these kind of rote factory management games. I'm obsessed with them, and I really love the idea of a game that is a bomb factory. So it can be real bombs, okay. It can be fiction bombs.
I mean, I would hope that they would all be fiction bombs.
Well, yes, they would.
I don't want to create a game that actually makes real bombs.
No, H, these are going to be truth bombs. Get on my level, sheeple. I like the idea of having this factory and you have all these ingredients and maybe you have different machines and stuff. And as your factory is asked to produce more and more bombs, the sort of quicker you have to move these ingredients along, but you have to always be managing how they're handled. They have to be handled with extreme care because you could cause an explosion in your own factory. And so maybe you could even have one of those cute little calendars or something as a mark of progress with like days without incident that only tick up and then eventually reset. So a bomb factory. I wonder if that could be fun.
All right, starting the clock. So the thing that stands out to me about a bomb factory is that pretty much when you mess up, you set off a bomb that sets off a chain reaction. Pretty much your factory's gone. And so if we want to treat this kind of like a run-based system, kind of like a minesweeper almost, where, you know, you hit one and they're all gone. Or if we want to maybe factor that into the equation so you can build like thick walls in between rooms and to kind of like curtain off the risk a little bit. So if a bomb goes off, it only destroys that part of the factory and the rest of the factory can go unabated, whether you want kind of identical copies of assembly lines, multiple of them that are all protected from each other, or whether you want a portion of an assembly line to extend into the curtained off space that you can quickly replace because you're not replacing the entire assembly line. Just however you want to do that, I think there's a few good options that we could explore here.
Yeah, I like the idea. When you said run-based, actually, the type of pacing that potentially comes to mind is something like Tetris. I like the idea of things, you know, instead of feeling like, ooh, it's half an hour for a run, 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. You do a run that takes just, you know, 5 minutes as a total loop. And the, you know, the bomb making has to get faster and faster and faster. It maybe ends up feeling a little bit more like an Overcooked or something of that ilk.
All right.
Especially if you have to kind of move the bomb parts around, like with an actual physical avatar in the space, somebody just carrying glycerin buckets around seems pretty good.
I wonder if there's a system by which we could progress from the kind of Looney Tunes Acme style big black balls full of gunpowder into like atomic bombs or nuclear bombs, things that would require the storage and disposal of chemicals and nuclear waste. You know, because that would at least mix up the gameplay a little bit in like a progression of the timeline type of mechanic like you would see in a Civilization game.
Now it's kind of feeling a little bit even more Overcooked, right? So you have like bomb requests that you're trying to fulfill?
Well, yeah, I guess it would probably be a progression thing because I don't know, once atomic bombs are on the menu, how many people would still be ordering like, you know, medieval mortars.
Listen, not every dictatorship can afford the most expensive bombs.
That's
there.
That's true.
Maybe it's like an iPhone, right? You're just supporting the last three generations of bomb, not all the way back to the beginning.
The ones that you're trying to actively undermine at that point.
Yeah. Okay. So you're evolving up the bomb evolution chain, obviously working your way up to some sort of intergalactic space bomb or something like that.
A bomb that just like obliterates all of time and space and nothing has ever happened.
Oh, the once time that bomb. Has bomb. Gone off. Yeah, once you get to the time bomb. And then like accidents when you're now I want the runs to last a little bit longer, right? So you can work your way up to time bomb. But like once you have time bomb, like dropping certain ingredients could like super age a piece of equipment and have it break down on you.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then you could obviously
it's like you have to deal with liquid time or something.
Yeah, like it spills and like you have to go get your, you know, time cleaning gun and you have to suck up all the spilled time.
I have had some recipes that have called for time in the past and so far I haven't had a problem with it, but I understand conceptually it's very cool if we have a you know, some sort of a way to manifest that in a way that makes creative use in a science fiction-y kind of way.
That's really interesting. So, yeah, taking in different ingredients, and I don't know, I dare not Google how to make a bomb, else I end up on some kind of watch list, but the...
right next to THQ Nordic for fun last week news.
Oh, my God.
As of the time people are hearing this.
Yeah, the idea of taking these ingredients and having to move them, manipulate them, and I think like being physically present in the space is good, but I also like tapping into that sort of Factorio style factory / supply chain management sort of stuff, mm-hmm. where like I like the ideas as you earn money, whatever it is, leveling up, that you can upgrade certain conveyor belts. So you have conveyor belts that are maybe moving some products faster, but certain products can only be safely moved at a certain speed without them being volatile. So you're kind of constantly trying to balance flow and like producing enough of a certain ingredient and have it delivered slowly versus like some certain ingredients can be just produced and shipped around very quickly. So you are kind of looking at the numbers and you're going, okay, well, if I get three of these slow belts of ingredient A and then one of these fast belts of ingredient B, then I can make things C at a certain pace. And I can't believe that I like this. This is only something I've discovered in the past couple of years, but these are the type of games I seem to like.
I guess we use Factorio as a kind of cornerstone that we're building off of here. Do we want this to essentially be an automated production chain, or do we want some level of overcooked like interaction with the actual building and transportation of the bombs?
I do like the edit, because even in Factorio, especially when you begin, there is a lot of kind of like running and manually collecting ingredients as they build up and transporting them into different places. Maybe it's less, direct joystick control over one person or one avatar, and instead you get a little bit of like the true, Foxconn Chinese factory simulation going, and there's actually people at all parts of the assembly line. You have the I Love Lucy chocolate makers. They're just trying to handle the load of ingredients coming at them, and you can boss them around. And if you're putting them, you're not using your workers well, then things are backing up on you. But with the consequences of three workers could get, a cartoonish billow of black smoke in their face and be put out of commission. And then you have to put them in a little infirmary and wait for them to get better. And you got to hire more workers to move these things around.
So this is interesting. So we have a combination of workers and automation. We can try to maybe phase the workers out to make the system more stable. although, maybe we don't want it to be completely stable, because we want to kind of keep that that frantic nature always active, to keep people always kind of trying to suss out weaknesses in the chain. Maybe parts wear out over time, and you can kind of track via color coding that can track the buildup of rust on parts or the heat of moving parts or something. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to think out loud here. Like what can we do to keep it from settling into a comfortable rhythm? Because like Factorio is interesting because it's it does settle into a very, very comfortable rhythm. But at that point, it becomes kind of like a relaxing management sim.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to keep the energy up for this, and that frantic nature, that that feeling that anything can go wrong at any time.
When I'm thinking about like having a factory full of workers that I can like use a mouse, click, select a group of, and say, take one thing and bring it to another place. If you could like set routes, almost like you do with like a StarCraft that are like mining crystal for you or whatever, like once the crystal runs out, they're just gonna like go, and their AI says, all right, well, go find the next closest thing of crystal, and they'll just start mining that, right? So and walking it over to another machine. So as resources dry up, as pieces of the assembly line dry up, you kind of have like not exactly this rampant AI, but AI of like your workers are never going to not be working. So if you don't give them enough work to do, then they might cause like some level of havoc all over the place. Mm. Like you actually don't want to reach a state where everybody's kind of got nothing to do. So maybe you can't phase out workers, right? Like that the workers themselves are the ones that could cause chaos. And of course they start asking for breaks and now you're going to factor in, oh, okay, you're dealing with labor issues and oh, pesky workers are the worst, aren't they?
Well, with that said, let's close the book on that one. And let's come up with the bombest title.
H, you were supposed to defuse this one. This is your opportunity.
I mean, we can emphasize the kind of anonymous nature of some of the workers in your factory, you know, the real John Doe's on the assembly line, and call this John Wick. Wick's an essential ingredient in both candles and bombs.
Yes, at least in Looney Tunes. Okay, I've got one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Weapons of mass construction.
Ah, there you go. We got there.
We did it.
That's very good. That is extremely good.
Well, sometimes you get a good one.
All right. Weapons of mass construction. I like that. That's a very positive outlook to it.
Yeah.
So what I'm bringing today is a third-person shooter. I'm thinking kind of Crackdown-like, set in an environment that emphasizes verticality. And all of your weapons are energy weapons that must be charged up by sustaining kinetic force, by either jumping off of something tall and then landing on the ground and kind of absorbing that kinetic force through your knees and, you know, all of that to charge up your gun, or running headfirst into a wall, whatever it is that keeps that kinetic force up. Obviously, it kind of discharges quickly, maybe at the same rate that you would have to recharge a Splatoon gun or something, but essentially, it's kind of a suicidal shooter in a way, because you're always looking for a way to damage your body to regain ammunition. So, starting the clock there.
This is great. I only played a couple rounds of Apex Legends over the past couple weeks, and the feeling of verticality in that game is really strong, but you're almost always, in these type of games, like weary of like fall damage. The idea of having to inflict your own fall damage, and to maybe there's like not springboards, but although maybe springboards apply, but there could also be those like sort of speed pads around the environment. And like sometimes you just want to point yourself straight at a wall to really get the most. You'd really have to make sure that if this is like a multiplayer game, that there's plenty of like ways to recover, I guess.
I would think maybe kind of like Portal, how you have, I guess, within the fiction of the game, those special shoes that allow you to absorb the fall, and so you can fall from any height without taking any damage. That, you know, that wouldn't be the way that anyone would necessarily die unless they fall into like a bottomless pit or something.
Got
like
it.
That. You know, you are encouraged to jump off of buildings, and you're encouraged to do what would seem like stupid things, jump in front of a car or whatever, because, you know, I don't want to have somebody get to the point where they are out of ammo and low on health and can't do anything.
Okay, I've got maybe a twist here for you. So, like, the main gun that everybody really wants to use is the energy weapon gun, but maybe also there are, like, sidearms around the environment that actually do have ballistic bullets, and if you are out of energy and you encounter a person, you could pull out and use your sidearm, but you're also going to be charging up their gun because you're causing
you
a ton of kinetic force into them.
That's a really interesting a risk reward there, as we like to encounter on this show. So I guess, you know, the easy answer would be to just make the regular guns not that powerful, so you're not incentivized to use them, but maybe they are very powerful and can take somebody out in like 3 or 4 hits, but yeah, they do charge up a lot of that kinetic energy and maybe even overcharges the gun, so that when they fire back, they could pretty much obliterate you if they know where you're shooting from.
It's the golden energy gun, if you will.
It's like a Super Saiyan, like Kamehameha, as the Dragon Ball friends would say.
Yeah, so...
I don't watch the anime.
I don't watch the anime is the most 70-year-old thing you've ever said. But for the record, I don't really watch the anime either. Yeah, the idea of the overcharged gun, once you've been shot with a regular bullet a couple times, becoming like a wide beam burst and almost unescapable, mm-hmm. but like you can maybe get by on the skin of your teeth, but there's a lot of like corridors and stuff that it could just really fill as payback would be cool.
And you can get by if the opponent doesn't know where you're shooting from and where they should be counterattacking.
Right. So if you're able to kind of successfully, stay in motion or take some hits and escape, you could potentially use the outcome of that encounter to guarantee that you're going to fire off somebody else. And maybe killing somebody else is the only way to actually like regain some health in this thing. So you're constantly pressured into engaging in combat because, like Doom, you need to sort of melee kill to sort of rebuild your health. This is 2016 Doom.
Mm-hmm.
You have something like that here. I'm also like aesthetically thinking of like really cool like 90s futurism like suits that everybody's wearing that as like bullets go into them, there's like an LED like cascade ripple or something that appears on their body.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot we can do with the aesthetics here. Obviously, I think that having kind of a living city is pretty cool. I also want to, maybe you have the option of cycling between multiple locations where the kinetic energy can go. So you can charge up your, maybe you have like three colors that your suit can be. And if it's green, it charges up your defense. If it's red, it charges up your weapon. If it's blue, it charges up your kind of ability to jump and navigate. And so if you spend time investing in your navigational skills, then you can jump over buildings. And, it's like in Crackdown, how once you get enough of those agility orbs, then you can really start essentially flying all over the place.
Skills for kills, H. Skills for kills. I love that. I was actually going to pitch you something very similar, which was there's like a toggle between like gun and suit. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of one layer simpler than kind of what you were pitching. But the idea if I could toggle between gun and suit, maybe even like because I can jump off of buildings and stuff, I obviously have probably something that looks like cool steampunky like shock absorbers in my like mm-hmm. boots and knees. The idea of those like sounding like they're a tea kettle when they're like powered up and they're just ready to blast off and you could Hulk jump around the city. Maybe it's only good for like one jump, right? Like you can really overcharge them only to a certain point and it's good for an amazing escape or like a quick like dash, melee kill into somebody or something like that. Something that is like this explosive surprise moment. Especially when that person, like, you get two shots of a regular weapon into you, it charges you up, you get this crazy melee kill. I think it could be really cool. And I still think, like, what you want to do is, because now we're almost tilting it in favor of, like, well, ideally, you don't want to shoot anybody, right? Because they're going to become much better in many ways. But what
your energy
is the
weapon doesn't power them up. You know, that's your primary weapon, and that's the one that you can shoot people and actually reliably take them down.
I wonder if the energy weapon is not necessarily like ammo based, but it's just straight up power based. Like if someone is really able to like hit you 20 times with the like base level energy weapon, then maybe that is still enough to actually take you down, but it just doesn't like power the person up in any way to take on stuff like that. So really what they want to be doing is like the ideal situation is you're trying to shoot someone as you've been like, and you're just getting shot once or twice in the same encounter. So like a three-way sort of combat scenario.
So I hate to do this, but this would also kind of work well as a battle royale. Instead of having a quick you know, die and respawn and reset your progress, essentially, to have something that builds over time. And then over the course of the match, all of the players just become superheroes and start shooting at each other and jumping over buildings and stuff. I think would be an interesting escalation in the way that a lot of battle royale games don't escalate in the same way.
Yeah, the idea of it eventually feeling like Crackdown, of everybody like eventually becoming a super soldier by the end of the match, is mm-hmm. kind of cool too. I know we played with that, I think, last week in a pitch or something. Yeah, this kind of war of attrition, but also for every shot fired, like some consequence to powering up another player is kind of cool.
So we only have a little bit of time left, but I kind of want to think about like what would be an interesting story or a concept or something behind this that can make it stand out, that can kind of justify the trappings of the game that we've created.
This is kind of a little bit of a theme today, but I like the idea of these suits were designed for not even the army or infantry, but these became like standard construction worker suits, and people were just using them to kind of get around, almost like the giant weird mech thing that Ridley's in at the end of Alien. yeah. And plus mech fans, finally the mech battle royale we've all been looking for. And maybe, you know, thinking about some of the directions that Apex has taken it in, there's different types of construction workers, right? Some are haulers, some are like diggers, and when you power up different types of suits, they power up and get certain abilities. So they're almost like it's acting a bit as an ultimate, but it's coming straight from bullets delivered into their hitbox.
All right. Well, let's close that down and come up with a name. I don't have anything off the top of my head, but I'm sure that we can get there.
I like the idea of like calling in like a phrase that everybody knows is like a trade-off, like a tit for tat or something, but that's just like in isolation, not like that satisfying to say.
So we integrate the kind of kinetic element of it. We can call it kinetic cut, but I don't know if that really means anything.
Ricochet is not a terrible term.
Ricochet, has that ever been used? I don't know if it has.
That's a nice word, though. Something with ricochet before.
I don't know.
Because maybe the bullets don't necessarily go into you, right? They're like bouncing off the suit and your suit just fails and your like body shuts down.
Well, let's go for that then. Let's call it ricochet and let the players decide what it means. There can be lore speculations and such.
Yeah, everybody, please go deep on the Ricochet lore because we need it. And it's not the Brick Breaker game Ricochet. We all know that's a different IP. This is Ricochet with like a 2 T's or something.
That's right. This is named after the future celebrity Ricochet. So very different.
You know, I know I'm being chatty today, but boy, oh boy, do you ever get spam calls on your phone?
I get some spam calls in Chinese, which is odd. It's like I don't really know what they're going for there.
So we always get T-Mobile will kind of warn me of a spam call by calling the contact who's calling Scam Likely. And I just love the idea of a guy named Scam Likely always giving me phone calls.
Why is nobody picking up my calls?
Hi there. I'm Scam Likely. I like to call people. I'm waiting for someone to pick up.
Poor Scam Likely. So let's go over to the community now. And we have a pitch from Robert Lee. Not that Robert Lee. Robert Lee says, an Earthbound-style RPG adventure, but instead of spells and weapons, combat is played out using rap battles. Very cool. Let's go ahead and start the clock.
This is a banger, Robert. I love the idea of rap battles as a and rhythm in general as an RPG battle mechanic. I think like so much RPG combat does have a natural rhythm to it. I think of the old PlayStation game, The Legend of Dragoon, that comes to mind. But of course, a lot of like JRPG combat has had turn, you know, what are they called?
Have like active battle systems.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even some of the later turn-based ones like Final Fantasy VI had some real-time elements where bars would fill up and then you can execute your turn instead of waiting for, you know, the entire cycle to go around and everyone to have equal number of turns.
Yeah, it definitely feels modern, but like now how in my head, like I'm going around in this Earthbound style RPG and like I feel like I could get some flavor of DJ Hero in here. H, what do you think?
DJ Hero, that's an interesting drop. I'm not seeing the mechanical in.
I guess what I mean is like if I'm rap battling against other people, then there'll be sort of like the different bosses or enemy types bring different instrumentation and music into the tracks and a different speaking style or different rhythm that they speak at. So like if it becomes a sort of Xbox / PlayStation controller version of a Rock Band or Guitar Hero song when you're battling, that could be really cool. Like using those note-based systems of tracks coming at you is a way to handle like the combat in this thing.
And requiring different rhythms of people. I think that's definitely an interesting twist to this. So now recently I wanted to point out that we have talked about a game that kind of like tries to turn into a game mechanic the idea of debating somebody, which is in essence pretty similar to rap battling. And so maybe we can kind of take what we learned there. Or you know, of course there's been games like Parappa the Rapper that are kind of like rap battle-ish, but I want something a little bit more freeform than that. Maybe you have maybe it is turn-based because rap battles are kind of ultimately turn-based and it's up to you to, instead of following a very strict set of commands like you would in a Parappa the Rapper game, you can input your own commands and each of the colored buttons on the face pad correspond to a different type of magic or a different type of spell, or is this the same thing, a different type of attack. And so you can kind of load combinations. There would be, if you hit some of them in a certain order, then they would trigger certain types of, and then you can try to get, you know, as much on or as little on, or you construct these lines in different ways based on the individual rhythms of the characters that you're going against. So you have to be very conscious of like the beat and the meter and creating a sense of flow. And, you know, the later enemies would come at you with like difficult time signatures and 5/8 time, and you'd have to really kind of like be on your toes to count it out.
So the fitness boxing game that I've been playing on Switch has this kind of concept of suddenly like of getting you to sort of input a pattern of punches and then serving you up that pattern again and wrapping it in a wrapper, making it a combo. So what if you did things like to simulate the feeling of a rap battle? You have a bunch of words that you write for the game. The characters all have different sorts of words that they're associated with. And maybe they're like, there's not that many. We'll say it's 20 to 50 per character. But for each of those words, they have like a second word that rhymes with them. So you're inputting these like combos to the time. So the time signature and the music is dictating the rhythm. But at the end of each phrase, there is a button that corresponds with a particular word from that character. And you have to follow up the next phrase with another word that rhymes with the first word. So it kind of asks you to kind of remember the word that you said before. And then it's almost like Simlish rapping in between, you know, of like, seven, heaven, you know.
So maybe you would have to remember the color that you ended the previous line with and then end that line with the same color, and you'd have to alternate. And maybe there are certain conditions where you'd have to alternate every other line, or every two lines have to rhyme with each other, or just the first and the last of a quartet or something. I'm sure that's not the right term to describe four lines, but I don't know. I'm sure that there's ways to mix that up, because I think once you start incorporating actual language into this, it gets very complicated, and it would kind of slow down the rhythm-based element of it, because it takes a while to at least read the different words and understand what you're saying.
Right. Somebody could identify color or like even shape immediately, so it's probably better to go with something like that. The thing I'm thinking about here is like the phrasing is coming at you you are trying to match the person's beat, like, there must be maybe some system where the characters that you're playing against have some variable. Because I think, like, one of the things, like, is very boring, and, like, your turn-based RPGs of the world are, like, you encounter one type of enemy, you almost always know exactly, oh, I can just basically hit attack 3 times and it's going to be fine. Like, maybe we have to program, like, several different styles into each enemy and cull the types of enemies or something like that. I'm trying to think about, like, what the scope of possibility is for the enemies to surprise you, because I think, like, a rap battle, because I've been to so many, is kind of at its most interesting when, like, somebody, you know, at least in, like, movie fiction, and, like, 8 Mile comes to mind here, mm-hmm. like, somebody starts in with, like, a different syncopated beat, or a beat that the other person wasn't expecting, and then they're hitting the rhymes at different marks. Maybe it's like the enemy that dictates where you have to hit your rhyme marks or something.
And I was talking the other day, actually, with my girlfriend. We were talking about, like, rap beats and some of the interesting things that they pull. And I always like, if you just listen to a rap beat by itself, something that's made to be kind of freestyled over, it's not going to just be the same phrase repeating over and over. It's going to, every few bars, kind of like drop the instruments and just keep a couple of them running along. And so when you rap over it, then those lines really stand out. So maybe there are kind of key lines that are telegraphed by, I don't know, a different color of bar underneath the rhythm marker, whatever, that... whatever you input during those bars are going to be extra impactful. And so you really want to make them count.
Watching the track for, maybe there's a waveform so I can like see what, like, when a quote dropout would be, and then use that to predict when, like, to hit certain phraseology or something. Like, that could be interesting.
Yeah. You can try to trigger a specific phrase that would be like a massive combo that could initiate, like, a finishing move, maybe, or maybe everything is kind of double points during that time. Everything is double dangerous if you mess up, but you get double the score if you do very well.
Yep. And boy, oh boy, you may have unintentionally just already given this game a name. because the term double dangerous is super good. yeah, that's cool. Okay, so now you have, like, score doubling and that sort of thing, and if you time it right, like, maybe, like, you manage to time it right, then you can get yourself that sort of double score. And I'm thinking about, like, how I plan ahead for that. It's almost like the equivalent of an RPG limit break in a Final Fantasy. Like, yeah, you have to save up and conserve something, or maybe it's only once you've been, like, schooled enough can you have access to doing some schooling of your own.
There's almost like a fighting game mechanic in there then. Well, we're out of time. Let's wrap that one up.
Nice. He's back, right. Baby!
Yeah, here we go. What are we going to call it? I guess, what was the phrase that you were happy with?
Double dangerous is so good.
Okay. It sounds a little bit like a daredevil or something, but I'm okay with that.
These are dangerous beats. And this is a dangerous world where you got to use your beats to save the world.
Double dangerous. Thank you again to Robert Lee. If you would like to submit a pitch of your very own, then you can do so by emailing us, playwrightcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at PlaywrightCast, or you can go to the website, playwrightcast.com/pitch.
And don't be distracted when you're rapping. Rap over our theme song, Hello World, off the album Blue Noise. It's by Protodome, and it's probably rappable. I would like to hear, if you want to send us a rap of you rapping over some Protodome, I'd be down with that. And when you're done rapping, go check out some other great shows on that Kane and Rince podcast network, like the Kane and Rince podcast. They're just doing Street Fighter 4 stuff right now, which is really cool. Sound of Play, the video game music podcast, and find out how games are made on The Sausage Factory.
Q, why don't you take us out of the show today with a miniature pitch?
This one's simple, and ripped right from the Hollywood headlines, Pokemon Detective Magikarp.
I like that. I could go for that kind of movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of wailing in place.
Yep. All right, well, we'll see you next week.
Bye. We'll be right back.